Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for those successful people in the Quran in various places with regards to the successful people. Allah ta'ala has used the word muflihun. Muflihun are those people who are the successful people in this world and in the hereafter, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the meaning of muflihun can also be understood in this way, that the beloved, the people who are beloved to Allah. And this is obvious, this is apparent, that those people who will attain success, then obviously they will be beloved to Allah. They will be beloved to Allah. This is the title, that the people who are beloved to Allah, the men and women who are close to Allah, beloved to Allah, will be successful in the hereafter. And they will attain the rewards that Allah Ta'ala will distribute and give. Now here arises a question, that the beloved of Allah, the man or woman who is beloved to Allah, how can we become from those people? How can we be included in that group? Now if we understand this point today, then we'll do those actions that will allow us to become the beloved of Allah, isn't it? Why not? And then we'll solve our massive issue and we'll become the muflihun and the successful. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, and that person's become successful. So we hear the names of great personalities and people from history that they were the beloved of Allah, and some become zahir and the people of the world know about them, but there are hundreds of thousands of people who are the beloved of Allah, and they are leaving this world, passing this life in this world with silence. It's not necessary that there will be an advert that mentions their name or mentions the history. No, but they're living and passing when they're the beloved of Allah. And what does the beloved of Allah do? What does a person who is beloved to Allah do? He does one action, that he follows a life pattern from guidance and the guidance of the Qur'an. And the person who is beloved to Allah has yaqeen, certainty, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delivered the Qur'an, revealed the Qur'an via the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for this ummah, and there's one guidance. If I take hold of this guidance with strength, alhamdulillah, then that individual becomes the beloved of Allah. The beloved of Allah. So we all say that we have caught hold of the Qur'an, we are following the Qur'an. I say it, I'm doing this, you say we're doing this, we all say we're doing this. And the whole Qur'an, the summary lesson of the Qur'an, if we can understand it, then that person will become the beloved of Allah, the friend of Allah, the person who's close to Allah. So there's one point that summarizes the whole tafsir of the Qur'an. And this will become easy for us to understand on one word. That the beloved of Allah, the person who wants to become close to Allah, the Qur'an describes the method. The Qur'an will tell us, won't it? The Kitab of Allah, what else will tell us? And the Qur'an, the explanation, the Prophet ﷺ told us through his physical actions, the hadith, the blessed hadith, his sayings, his actions, these are all the Qur'an. The Prophet ﷺ's actions are all the commentary of the Qur'an. The meaning of the Qur'an has Amma Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala and said in hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the walking, talking Qur'an. This is the Qur'an we read in the words, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the practicing Qur'an. So when we read the Qur'an, don't think that you're reading something that's separate from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life. No, the Qur'an is the text, and it's given us the guidance, the framework, and the explanation, physical demonstration is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's lifestyle and all his actions are included in this. Don't think that the Qur'an, or we'll just read the text and we'll get the guidance. How will you get the guidance from the Quran if you don't have the tafsir, the commentary, the lifestyle of the Prophet ﷺ? How can we learn from the Quran? So the Quran has told us, explained to us, that what is the method to become close to Allah, the beloved Allah. Those people who have grabbed hold of that method have become successful. Now here arises the question that we all have different ways and methods. Someone says, I'm beloved to Allah. Look, this person, he's close to Allah. He's always in the masjid. He's always sitting in the mosque. People say this, don't they? And they say, look how close this man is to Allah. He's going on hajj every year. He's performed so many hajj. And look how close is this sister, close to Allah, that she's giving sadaqah, she gives charity, she fasts, and she's pious. We say this straight away, that the measure of piety is ibadat. Oh look, he's such a dhakir, this man, he's so beloved to Allah. He's remembering Allah a lot. Oh look, he's wearing the libas, the attire. He's got an imam, a turban. Oh, he's beloved to Allah. So it doesn't take long to say this, does it? To give the title, isn't it? Isn't this the case? Aha. So brothers, the point here is this. That any action, if we take it, no action can make us beloved to Allah, close to Allah. Doesn't matter how much Quran we read, dhikr we do, salah we pray, whatever we do. To become beloved of Allah, what can we do to become beloved of Allah? We cannot become the beloved of Allah until and unless, if Allah Ta'ala says that this is the definition, this is the way, the method to become my beloved, then what is that amal? And that is also an amal, just like all these other amal we've discussed. And it's also essential for us, but we don't look towards that amal. We don't give it any regard. We say, oh, leave that. Oh, he's haji, he's prayed salah, he's done this many hajj. Oh, leave this. What's this you're talking about? Look at this, mashallah. Look how many tasbihs he's done. Look how much he's done this, etc. and that. So, doesn't matter how many amal we do, how many hajj we do, how many deeds we practice, we can pray tahajjud all night long, but we cannot become the beloved of Allah until and unless one action comes into our lives. Shall I tell you what that is? Until and unless a person does not leave the sins. I can't hear you saying subhanallah. Yeah? Don't you understand what I'm saying? Yes, this is the point. Doesn't matter how many hajj I've performed, but if I sin in parallel, then I cannot be beloved to Allah. Can anyone become beloved of Allah in parallel with doing sins? No. Why? Why? Because the amal we do, which are good, they become nur, light. And when we commit sins, then we throw the darkness over the light. Yes? So then the ibadat is disappeared, eliminated, gone, suppressed. Allah Ta'ala gives us tawfiq, for example, to pray tahajjud. In the morning when we wake up, backbiting, waste of time, idle talk, we waste the tahajjud. Allah Ta'ala gives me the capability to recite Quran in a nice way, melodious tone, good qirat. Allah has given tawfiq, Allah has given a gift. Then what do? How do I waste it after? I pour cold water over the deeds. I pour cold water by committing, implementing sins. And what does shaitan say? It's alright, you've prayed salah. What difference does it make if you do a bit of sin? It's okay. It's fine. To this extent, that insan, I tell you the truth, if we take the percentage out, the percentage count, tally, then we see those people who say we are walis of Allah because they do a lot of ibadah. Then they fall into this trap, takabbur, pride, and the whispers of shaitan. They don't even have the ability to do tawbah on the small sins, even to say istighfar once, because they don't realize they're sinning. And this is the majlis of Allah that we've come to, we realize what the sins are. I tell you the truth. Otherwise, such deeds that we committed in our life, that we never thought we should do tawbah on those deeds. We think that we're beyond that, we're fine, we're pious, we do worship, ibadah. No. No. But when a human being goes into the company of a wali of Allah, then he realizes that, look, every sin will be weighed. Every sin will be counted, even a sin equivalent to an atom's weight will destroy me, says the person. And this is not the status of a person. He cannot go into paradise, as I said, as long as a sin is attached to his body. Can anybody go? No. Until Allah Ta'ala doesn't remove that sin from the body. Does it look how much power a sin has? In this world, what do we say? Oh, it's so easy to sin. Do what you want. By that time when you sin, you've committed a sin, have some recognition. Do astaghfirullah. Clean that sin. Purify that sin. Allah, I've committed a sin. If you make a mistake with your tongue, speech, don't move forward straight away. Allah, forgive me. Allah, forgive me. I made a mistake with my tongue. Allah Ta'ala forgives. Allah Ta'ala forgives. So what a great method Allah Ta'ala has given. Allah is giving water to wash away the darkness and the impurities of sin. So what do we understand here? Is that as long as sins are there, present in our lives and our record books, if we don't leave sins, reject sins, and go away from sins, that person cannot be the muflihun, he cannot be successful, and he cannot be the beloved of Allah. That's why there are very few walis of Allah and friends of Allah, beloved of Allah in the world today. Why? What's the reason? Because we are following our own standard. We don't even see that this action I'm doing is the Sharia defining this as a sin. The Muftiya and the Ulema, the honorable and respected scholars, this is their role. Ask them the questions. They tell me, respected scholar, that this action I've carried out, is it jais in the Sharia? Is it allowed in Islam? They'll tell us that maybe it's permissible, but it's better if you don't do this action. It's better to leave it. That's it. End of story. If he said to you, it's better to leave it, it's not a good thing, then that's it. End of story. The good muftis, the good scholars, they are present today. MashaAllah, they're doing good work of the deen. They are present in Darul Ulooms, in Islamic institutions, and they are there to solve your issues. They will look at you, your face, your parents, who are you. They'll say, look, this is the answer to your question. But We don't even go out of our way, that we don't even feel the prick of the thorn inside us. You know, like something pricks the eye. If something pricks the eye, even if something small, a prick, bit of dust, it goes into the eye, starts to pain, and then the water comes out of the eye. We realize that a small speck of dust went into the eye, and you try to pull it out, or there's something that's pricked your eye, and you try to pull it out, and it gives you pain. So when a person sins, it should be like the eyes being pricked. He doesn't feel satisfaction. Oh, it's all right. I'm fine. I'm a worshipper. So we need to write this on the book of our hearts, me and you, all of us. Alhamdulillah, we have a desire. We have a passion. We want to leave this world as the walis of Allah or as good people. But we cannot get our deeds to be accepted. Rather, I will waste my deeds if I don't ask Allah Ta'ala forgiveness for my sins and if I don't reject the sins. Don't consider any sin as a minor. Never. A kabira sin today is not considered kabira. We hear about major sins. We say, oh, it's okay. We say, okay. We leave the majlis. We commit sins. Many people have left my majlis, this gathering, for this reason. For this reason. Oh, he's too strict, too extreme. This sin, this sin, this sin. Leave this action. How can we live our lives in this world with this? We thought this is dhikr gathering. People say this and they complain that, oh, we go to the gathering and there's just too much talk about sin. Haven't many people left the majlis gathering in front of you? You bring them here, you drag them to the gathering, you seat them down when they hear the words, such words that they don't want to hear. And they say, oh, get away from, let's run away from here. Astaghfirullah. But subhanAllah, the person who has the fadl of Allah, who has the grace of Allah, he adheres himself to his gathering. He says, forget it, I'm not going to leave this gathering. Even if I commit the sin on a certain day, subhanAllah, even I will sin, I will, I'm prone to sin, but why should I leave this majlis of dhikr? It's okay, keep coming, keep coming. But some people, they run away. They're running, oh, let's not go there. Let's go somewhere else. It's better. Oh, let's go to this other person, Maulvi. He speaks good things. He doesn't tell us about sins. He doesn't make us scared of sins. They use the word scared. Scared. Oh, he's not that strict, this other Maulana. There's no one as strict as this man. Oh, he's too strict. He talks about sin and leaving unlawful things. Oh, for example, how can I pray? We're praying. They say, no, we can't pray. We can't pray. It's too hard. But we're praying, aren't we? We're praying. So this is a basis of understanding that people have made. They run away from the majlis. They run away from this blessed gathering. So Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned that very few and far between will you see people who leave the sins. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't understand? That Allah Ta'ala's pious, and we want to target to become pious people. We want to leave this world as good people so we can be classed as the muflihun. And those who are not the muflihun will be given the title of bad people. Allah Ta'ala will throw them in Jahannam. Allah will purify their sins and then they'll go into paradise. But those who depart this world as good people, good human beings, they'll go direct way into paradise. Okay, the simple formula. Now you and me, do we not desire to go into paradise direct? We do. Then leave the sins. Leave the sins. Simple formula. Now, let me tell you today a method of how we can easily leave the sins. Should I tell you? How we can easily leave the sins. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed this thought to come into mind. I was wandering around and I was approaching the majlis. I said, Allah put a point into my mind. Ah, Allah ta'ala's rahmah mercy. I said, what a great majlis. Due to the sadaqah of this majlis, Allah ta'ala is guiding us. I thought, subhanAllah, I'll have to try hard. I said, no, this is very valuable. We won't do this here. We'll say tomorrow. This was what came to my heart. Oh, it's a very valuable point. We'll go somewhere. You know, when I go to a big masjid and a good gathering, then I'll mention this nuqta, this point, so that more people get benefit. Then suddenly I thought, no, this will be khianat, breaching the trust, breaking the trust. Allah Ta'ala gave me this thought for this majlis. Why am I delaying delivering the message? I'm telling you the words in my heart. They're very difficult that I start this work. Otherwise, this majlis, mashallah, these words were for you. So appreciate this message of today, okay? It's a very beautiful and great point that's coming up, which I wanted to delay to another greater majlis, maybe a bigger majlis, but no. This is the trust of this gathering. Allah Ta'ala has allowed me to speak this. Allah Ta'ala, it's not me who's telling you. Allah Ta'ala is delivering this message. Just listen carefully, attentively. Are you listening? Say subhanAllah once. SubhanAllah. And again, subhanAllah. And again, subhanAllah. Aha. So Allah Ta'ala has given us this understanding. So now comes the point that we have realized that we want to become the beloved of Allah. The people are close to Allah. And to become close to Allah, the beloved of Allah, what do we need to do? To leave and shun the sins. Why don't we shun the sins? There's something lacking in our lives that is not allowing us to shun the sins. Listen to something. Listen to this, what I'm saying. There's something missing. There's a gap, whether we accept it or not, but there's something missing. And if we can fulfill that gap, plug the gap, and we can fulfill what's missing in our lives, then alhamdulillah, we can become the successful people. What is it that's missing? What is it that's making us sin? What's missing from life? Shall I tell you? Shall I tell you? That is that we are not grateful to Allah. We are ungrateful to Allah. We are ungrateful. I tell you this.
We're grateful. Wherever there's gratefulness, then there will not be sin. This is a guaranteed point. Whenever a person is grateful, he can never commit a sin.
إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ Allah says, very few people will you find who are grateful to Allah. Very few pious people you find. As Allah said this in the Quran, because the person who is the shakir, who is grateful, is the beloved of Allah. A person will only be far from Allah, and he cannot become the beloved of Allah. That person who is ungrateful to Allah. And who did this first? The shaitan. He was ungrateful to Allah. He was ungrateful. Na shukr. Now if we today make a habit of being grateful to Allah, my friends, this is a very beautiful point. Beautiful point. If we make a habit of being grateful to Allah, then alhamdulillah, we will not commit the sins. Guaranteed solution. Guaranteed method. How? When does a person sin? When does a person sin? Do we buy sins from outside? Do we purchase sins from a shop? No. Sins are committed by our body. By our internal self. Where does the sin come from? From the eyes. The eyes sin. Or the tongue sins. Where else do sins come from? The hands. Or the private parts. Or the mind. Or our thoughts. Or our body. It's us, isn't it? There's no external force that makes a sin. Yes, so it's our body that sins. So we need to be shakir, grateful, so that we can eliminate sins. Beautiful points coming up. We need to become the grateful servants of Allah. So I need to become grateful to Allah. How do I become grateful to Allah? That Allah Ta'ala has given us the rewards, our favors of our body. We should be grateful for the body Allah Ta'ala has given to us, and we will not commit sins with the parts and the limbs of the body. Do you understand what I'm saying? If the eyes make me sin, stop straight away. Great ibadah. Great ibadah. Allah Ta'ala says, this eye, Allah says, I've given to you. Your eyes are looking. Visibility, looking outside the world, people, what's coming and going past. There are thousands of people who can't see from their eyes. There are thousands of people who don't have vision, eyesight. So what a big difference between my life and their life. Between my life and them, that they, for example, don't have eyes, they need to go to the toilet to pass urine, to pass stool, and they want to eat, they want to be able to see their food and pick up the morsels. And me, I've got eyesight, I can pick up wherever I move my hands. If I need olive oil, I take the olives, I take this fruit, that vegetable, I eat. Wherever my heart feels, I walk, I move around, I put my hands out, I pick up what I want, and I put the ingredients into my food and make the delicious food. But there's somebody who's blind. Allah Ta'ala is saying that, look here, if you go forward, stop here, touch this. And inside he has all of the limbs of the body and the jazbat and the passion. I want to eat this and eat that. But Allahu Akbar, he doesn't have the visibility, vision. But due to the lack of eyesight, he can't do those actions. He's restricted. She's restricted. You want, for example, your wife, she does makeup, wakes nice clothes and wears nice dress and attire. She's permissible for the husband, and she makes herself look good and attractive. And you want her to wear the libas that you like. You want her to wear this is sunnah as well. That she wears good clothes in front of you, attractive. You see her and you feel good. Because Allah Ta'ala said that the woman, she is, mashallah, the partner for the husband, and she will fulfill his desires and make him look happy. Not that you give her order that make kebab all day long and onions and doesn't matter. Whatever she does, that if she, for example, she puts the spices into the shami kebab, says, hey, eat this now. And you feel the spices, and she's, oh, I'm going to put this food into your stomach and give you stomachache. No. So if you're happy with her actions, and she's happy with your actions, it was a natural Allah that has made the husband and wife as partners for each other, as comfort for each other. So your eyes, for example, you are enjoying the vision in the world, the things that you see. Allah Ta'ala has given you all the desires you have within you. You want to see good. And with the halal way, you are enjoying the things. Why? What's making you enjoy? What is it? Your two eyes. They're giving you the vision, the visibility, and those poor souls who cannot see. Well, however beautiful a woman may be, doesn't matter how beautiful a bas she's got on, but he cannot see her. He cannot see the woman. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand the point? That Allah Ta'ala has given us a ni'mah, a gift. What scenes a person sees with the eyes? Let's go on Umrah, and you're going, you want to see the Kaaba, and here's Hajrul Aswad, and here the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to walk, and this is Zamzam water, this is the well of Zamzam, and this was here Safa Marwa, and here mashallah, these are the historical sites, and you're enjoying, because you've got eyesight, and there's somebody who's next to you who's blind from the eyes, he cannot see. Ask him, can you see the Kaaba? What does the Kaaba look like? Aha, what a great ni'mah Allah has given to us, eyesight. And we're not grateful. Isn't this the case? Think for a moment. Think. So for example, we're walking somewhere. I'm telling you, the very few people in the world who are grateful for what Allah Ta'ala has given to them. The same eyesight, the same eyes that Allah has given to us. We're driving a car, we're running, we're jogging. Or for example, you don't need any assistance from anyone else. Wherever you feel like going, you go. Because you've got eyes, whatever job you like, you are carrying out that task. Wherever you're going, to the office, and you go and you sit down to drink coffee, you go to different restaurants to eat, you go to different stores, you want to buy clothes, and you want to buy some clothes of a specific color, you've selected the color, you like that color, you look good in that color. For example, you'll see that, what perfume is this? Let me apply this perfume to my body because I like the smell, I like this. You want a car, you'll be able to see the car with your eyes, the model, the manufacturer, the design, everything you'll see with your eyes. Isn't it the case? Now for a while, if Allah Ta'ala takes away your vision, then all of the desires of your life will be diminished, will be suppressed. So why has Allah Ta'ala kept this nizam like this? This is a great hikmah of Allah, wisdom. That we can't say that Allah, you've done dhulm, you've oppressed this person, he doesn't have eyesight. No, Allah says his status and grade is very high due to his sabr and patience for not having eyesight. Allah Ta'ala created him and delivered him to this world, sent him to this world. Allah Ta'ala said that I want you to see this as an example, that you should also be grateful and come to the group of the muflihun. Allah Ta'ala puts a person in front of us as an example, that I have put this person as a model, as a role model for you people, that I've given him the maqam of sabr. Allah says, I'll give him so much in the hereafter that you cannot imagine, because I've made him a role model, or her as a role model for you, for those people of understanding. He stays at home, he's blind, he is restricted, but he's a role model for you, that you should learn ibadah from this, that if you do the ibadah, then you'll become the muflihun. And what is this ibadah? Shukr, to do shukr, to be grateful to Allah for everything that we have. Look at this point. When Allah Ta'ala delivers a message, what a beautiful message comes from Allah. Beautiful message. Until today, we've never thought of this point. That even if someone's blind, we feel pity on him, we take his hand and guide that person. And even so, that only for greed that we want to earn thawab. We don't feel pity for that person. We feel pity that Allah has sent me, just like Allah Ta'ala sent the prophets. And Allah Ta'ala sent me to this world with eyes. And look at this person who doesn't have eyes. Allah says, look at this great lesson for you. You are rejecting a great ibadah, a big act of worship. Allah says that when you see the wonders of the world with your eyesight, you should swear to Allah, that Allah, the greatest shukr, the way to be grateful for my eyesight is that Allah Ta'ala, just like Allah Ta'ala has given me eyesight to see the reality of the world, after today I will not commit sins with eyes. I won't see dirty, impure, immoral scenes. Even if it comes into my pocket, the question doesn't arise, because if I was in this person's position that I could not see from eyes, then I would not be able to experience lutuf and taste enjoyment in the world. But Allah, I'm grateful to you that you've allowed me to see from eyesight, that those things that you told me to refrain from, that don't look at these things with your eyes, that after today I will not look at those things with my eyes, it's haram for me. So have we not left the sin? We've left the sin. And as soon as we're about to commit the sin, then look to that person. Straight away I'm about to utilize my eyes again in the wrong way. Allah Ta'ala has told me, refrain from this action. For example, you're walking and you sin with your eyes. Shaitan whispers into your ears, heart, to do sin. Straight away do maraqba, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. I'll become ungrateful if I utilize my vision, my eyesight, in the wrong thing, and I'll never be able to attain falah, success, and I'll get punishment. I don't know what punishment Allah will give me for this sin. Straight away stand and say, Allah, I seek forgiveness that I won't use these eyes in a wrong way again. How can we say I keep looking at girls and women, I try my best, I can't leave this action? But when you become blind, then you'll realize. And in reality that man is blind. Allah says in the Quran, you were blind in this world and you will be raised blind. And not those people who are blind, they are blind. In reality, they won't be blind. Those people, they cannot see. They're not blind, but they just cannot see. The vision has been taken away from them temporarily. So has this sin now not left us of the wrong way of using the eyes? Yes, it has. Why? Because we are grateful for eyesight. As soon as we're grateful for our eyesight, then all of the kharafat, the evil that has spread and been distributed, automatically those kharafat and the sins of the eyes will diminish. You won't have a need for any other assistance, because you're making niyyah that, Allah, I am grateful to you. I'm using my eyes for the right thing. I'm not ungrateful. That, for example, Allah says, recite the Quran, look at the Quran, look at the Kaaba, look at the wonders of the world and praise Allah. Go to masjids, nice masjids. What beautiful, beautiful things. Allah Ta'ala has given me eyes to see the good things so that I can get close to Allah. And I use my eyes for wrong things. If I use my eyes for wrong things, I'll be under the ban of the ungrateful people. But if I use my eyes for the correct things, then I'll be from the grateful people. So when I'm grateful, that then that sin is eliminated. When the sin is eliminated, then that person has become a true good human being, upright. Always the sinful person is that person who is ungrateful to Allah. I give you one example. Now look at the whole body. If you sin with your hand and your lips and your mouth, there are people who are dumb, there are people who are blind, there are people who are dumb, there are people who are deaf, there are people who are disabled. Everyone, look at those people who are without the full services of the body. Whenever we are sinning with a part of the body, running towards Allah Ta'ala's disobedience, then that human becomes like Fir'aun. Remember this point. In the heart, if Allah Ta'ala has given that person a reward, and that reward he utilizes incorrectly, he's Fir'aun. And the punishment of Fir'aun, you know yourself. Fir'aun then needs Musa to combat him. So he needs the staff of Musa that will correct him. Otherwise he cannot be corrected. So what type of salah have we prayed? What worship are we doing? Do you understand the point now? What hajj is it that I've performed? I need to analyze my hajj, that I am so ungrateful to Allah. I sin and then I do ibadah. How will my ibadah be accepted? So if my eyes are doing the right thing, I've done tawbah, then I have my tongue, my mouth, my stomach. Even the stomach should do tawbah. This haram that we devour every day. What is it that makes us do this? Our tongues, the sins we commit from the tongues. Allahu Akbar. We are so ungrateful at that time when we're sinning from the tongue. But shaitan has overwhelmed us. No, you've just done dhikr. You utilize your tongue in the right way. Then you recited Quran. You finished 10 Qurans. You did all of these good actions of worship. But the individual doesn't know that what is your tongue saying. And if you're using the tongue in the wrong way, then you're from the ungrateful people. Banner. Beautiful topic. How Allah Ta'ala has instilled into my mind this great point. Is this not the case? A unique point. How the human being, alhamdulillah, he can become the obedient to Allah, he become submissive to Allah. That those people who make dawah, who claim that I do ibadah, but the worship is speaking nonsense. Human being, true servant of Allah is he who is grateful to Allah. And the person who is grateful to Allah, I'm just talking about the parts of the body. I haven't gone beyond that. I'm just talking about those who are grateful to the parts of the body. And those people are the true ashiks of Allah. But if we go beyond just the limbs of the body, every second of a moment when he is grateful to Allah, he will never then commit the sin and be disobedient to Allah. Never. Never. Because the Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that should I not become the grateful servant of Allah? This was not some minor statement he used to say. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that to become the pious servant and the grateful servant of Allah, Rasulullah sallam, to get this achievement, he made his feet swell. When he was asked to rest, he said, should I not be the grateful servant of my Rabb? Subhanallah, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this. Same, he was human being, but he had this understanding. And those people who are sinning, he can continue to sin. He can hang off the edge of the Kaaba and do ibadah and worship. People will maybe say he's pious, but in the kitab of Allah, he is not pious. Because every mu'min will eventually go to Jannah. He will be beaten and burnt in Jahannam. And then he will be freed and then he will go into paradise. Do we want to do this? We want to go through the back door? No, we should go direct into Jannah. Shaitan says, Subhanallah, I've selected a brave client. He makes us so cowardly that he doesn't allow us to leave the sins, rather we run after the sins. He makes us feel so cowardly, shaitan. He doesn't allow us to dua and then ask ourselves, how will I complete the length of my bed correctly? He's just making us run after salah, recitation of Quran. But the individual doesn't know that how much la'na, wretchedness and curse is descending upon me. And he's saying openly, I'll do it tomorrow, the day after. And if you keep telling me, I won't come to your masjid. Astaghfirullah. He won't accept any good message from the Quran. The person who does not do tawbah and who is not grateful to Allah and doesn't want to leave the sins. Am I right or am I wrong? That's it. So digest this message. It's not something to run away from. Digest it. What a great message that's come to us today from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how can we then commit the sins? How can I sit down and look at dirty, impure, immoral pictures on the phone in the night? How will I look at ghair mahram? How will I speak and listen to the words of the ghair mahram? Tell me the woman or man who's not permissible for me. Oh, this is my brother. Oh, he's my verbal cousin. Oh, he's my first cousin. Oh, she's my brother, sister-in-law. Oh, he's my brother-in-law. The woman, even her voice is the satr. We have to do parda from her voice. The woman who wants to become the servant of Allah, her basis is what? Subhanallah. Her eyes should not be raised towards the ghair mahram men. Even if you adorn yourself with the niqab and you cover yourself, doesn't mean you walk around, oh sisters, and look at other people, men. The sisters think, oh, I've worn a niqab and I can look at other men. Why? Because I've covered myself. No, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, lower your gaze. This applies to women and men. to everyone. After wearing the niqab, oh sisters, maybe you have a parda, veil between your face and others so they cannot see you. But this doesn't mean that you can keep on looking, oh sisters, at the men around you. Doesn't matter if they can't see you. No, you've got shahwat. You've got passion. So even if you observe niqab, your eyesight, your gaze should be lowered and you should not be looking at the men folk. But here today, we don't consider niqab as Islam. People say, they laugh and say, what kind of Islam are you teaching us? Niqab and covering ourselves, etc. Isn't this the case? We're here now, we're living in this atmosphere. We have to just follow the ways, and they start telling us their own stories. This is a test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A test. So niqab doesn't mean, oh sisters, that you can wander around looking at all the men and you recognize everyone. This brother was here, this man was here. When they come back home from the bazaar, oh, you know this man, he was doing shopping here, then I saw another person, this man I saw, and this person. So how did you see these people? Oh, I had a niqab on. But I know I can recognize everyone, nobody can recognize me because they can't see my face. Is this the basis? Kullun haram, all haram, totally haram. Totally unlawful. What has that individual done? That sister is ungrateful for the eyesight that Allah Ta'ala has given to her. That person, when he sins, when a man looks at women flagrantly, blatantly, he's ungrateful for his eyesight. What should we do then to become grateful? Look at the person who doesn't have eyesight next to you and he cannot do this. Then you'll understand, ah, you've saved me from the sins. You're an angel. You're an angel, a role model for you. Allah Ta'ala says, look at the role models around you. Subhanallah. For example, Qari Sahib. We should learn Quran from Qari Sahib. Or this is Alim Sahib, scholar. Learn ilm from him. Muhaddith Sahib. Learn hadith from him. So Allah says, this person next to you, near you, who you know, or you've seen, is blind. Learn a lesson from the blind people. He's our teacher. For example, you have a teacher, an ustad. The ustad has a great high rank and rights. And subhanallah, when you listen to the teaching of the teacher, for example, a person, the people around us, they are examples for us. People who follow the advice of the sheikh, the teacher. For example, a person who doesn't have a hand, he cannot drive, he cannot read Quran, open Quran, cannot eat properly. Thousands of ni'mas for that person are wiped away within a second. For example, if a person says, Allah, you've taken my hand. That even if one small part of our body doesn't, even if a finger doesn't move, then we can't eat at food time. For example, how should I write? Or should I help you? And then I have to do it in different stages and there's a problem. But the person who doesn't even have a hand, totally. How will he go to the toilet? How will he do his stinja? How will he wipe away the impurities, open the door, carry out the actions? How will he take the quilt over him? How will he get up without one hand, without the function of the hand? Subhanallah. So the example is with us that when you see such a person, the best example for us is what? Make him as an example and have shukr and be grateful that I have not committed the sins. That I won't commit haram deeds with my hands. In no way will I commit the haram deeds. In no way. Whatever, with my limbs, with the organs of my body. So the whole body of yours will become grateful, and your body will be grateful, and every atom's weight of your body will be a shakir and grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't this the case? And every type of person you will meet in the hospital. If you go to the hospital, there's a person who doesn't have a finger, somebody's got a cut hand, somebody doesn't have an eye, somebody doesn't have an ear, somebody can hear one ear, can't hear from the other, somebody's got a big boil on his neck, why he's got cancer. All sorts of people have come to the hospital. Isn't this the case? It is. And these are all examples for us. Have you seen? For example, you're going to visit someone who's sick. Oh, his ear is blocked and they're cutting off the other ear. He's got a disease. Be grateful straight away to Allah. Allah, after today, I will not do the sins of the ears. I will not commit sins from my ears. I am so grateful. I've heard that. What is the punishment? So every limb and organ apart attached to the body, the hukum is to us, the order, do not commit the sins. Yes? So doing shukr is not ibadah. No. It's not ibadah. Yeah. This is shukr, is that don't bring the disobedience into your life. That is being the shakir, the grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So brothers, this is a great, great formula that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. If we want to become good, then after today, let's try to become the grateful servants of Allah. And we should be able to see everything that is in front of us. And it should be black and white. Allah Ta'ala has given me teeth. Some people don't have teeth. They don't have teeth. So how will he chew the meat? How will he eat the roast chicken? Tell me, the person who doesn't have teeth. How will a person who doesn't have teeth, how can he enjoy food and fruits? How can he bite into the apple, even if he feels like, oh, I want to eat potatoes? They say, no, you can't. You can't do this. Because you don't have the, oh, give me powder and put it into the water. And he's a millionaire, billionaire, so rich, wealthy. There was a man that he had a private jet, and I can't remember his name. And I cannot explain, mention it even if I do know the name. So for example, he was given something very lightweight, and that was his food, you could say, budget. But subhanAllah, that person, for example, he cannot reach to the height spiritually, despite the amount of wealth he has. But Allah Ta'ala has given us food, and for example, a person, he has chapati, he has the onion, he makes the chapati and he sleeps with ease, even if he doesn't have meat to eat, but he's grateful to Allah. Then after 4 hours, he's hungry, then a nice glass of lassi, he drinks the yogurt drink. Why? Because he's grateful to Allah. Allah Ta'ala is giving according to his means, and he doesn't allow haram to go into his heart. There are thousands of illness is related to the stomach. Somebody's got cancer, somebody's got constipation, somebody's got acid extra. Oh, I can't get the cure, the solution. If you start to become grateful, then half of the issues of the stomach will disappear straight away. Try to do shukr. Try to be grateful. That if I will not allow a morsel of haram to go into my body, stomach, doesn't matter what comes my way, I'll keep fast. But whatever has mutashabbihat, even if there's doubt, Shabiyat, then I won't allow that food to go into my stomach because I don't want cancer to come into my life, and you will die the best death. How will that person die? Three things. The pious elders have said that he, for example, will pass away with the iman intact, and his death will have iman on his tongue, and he will go into the phase of the hereafter with everything intact and with success. Now a point has just suddenly come, and that point I would like to serve, present to yourself, then I'll conclude. Shall I present this thought? And Allah Ta'ala is giving, so at least we should share, subhanAllah. So what's the point that we should discuss today? That, for example, we know that we should be grateful to Allah. So Allah Ta'ala is asking then, do you know how to become grateful to Allah? SubhanAllah. So Allah Ta'ala says you should be grateful on every ni'mah of mine that I've given to you. SubhanAllah. So you, for example, leave the majlis and you see something, you attain it and you receive it, and you weren't even aware that Allah was going to give this to you. You should say, Allah, I'm grateful to you. I wasn't capable of this. That, for example, I wasn't capable of this reward that you give me. How comes I got this finance and this money? So I was only capable of less, but fine. There was a person on the website, and Hazrat Thanvi Sahib Rahimahullah has written this event, and he came out one day, the Nawab Sahib, and he said, well, they asked, where are you going? He said, I'm going to buy a horse, purchase a horse. You know, in the older days, there were horses used for transport. There was a fakir who came out of his house. He said, Sardar Sahib, Nawab Sahib, assalamu alaikum, like people do, don't they? They form the sort of formality, assalamu alaikum. And the answer comes abrupt. Where are you going, Hazrat? The question came. He said, going where? Where am I going to go? I'm going to buy a horse. He said, you're going to buy a horse? He said, yes. He said, is it okay? And he said, the faqih, the wali wala, that you're saying you're going to buy a horse, but you should say inshallah as well, isn't it? He said, what's the point of me saying inshallah? Why do I need to say inshallah? He said, that is a good thing if you say, he said, it's good if you say inshallah. He said, what's the point? What's the need for me to say inshallah? Are you coming to teach me? This is a true event, Hazrat Thanvi Sahib. Who are you to tell me, to advise me? Go, be gone on your way. Who are you to tell me to say inshallah? You're teaching me? You don't even worth two taka. I have money in my pocket, and I'm going to that person with the money, and there's a horse in front of me, and people will be stood there, and I'll buy a good horse, and they'll praise me, and I'll become more famous. Who are you to tell me about inshallah? He said, okay, fine. And he went quiet, the wali wala. He went, that person, to buy the horse. And they said, oh, Nawab Sahib, please, please come. And he started to show him horses, because he's Nawab Sahib. He said, okay, show me. He's showing him this horse, that horse, good pedigree, low pedigree. He started to see the horses, and that was Nawab Sahib. He said, this horse, I like it. They said, you like this horse? You want to take this? They said, yes. How much? And for example, the deal was nearly concluded. He said, please give the money. Then when Nawab Sahib put his hand in the pocket, there was a hole in it, and all the money had gone. Okay, Nawab Sahib, what do we do now? So Nawab Sahib, for example, he's disappeared, and he's been dishonored. Money's disappeared. There was a hole in my pocket. And people say that you're a thief. You're not a Nawab. You're speaking nonsense. 1 hour, he's wasted my time. 1.5 hours, the seller is saying, I could have sent this horse somewhere else. So he's saying, I'm stuck there. What shall I do? He said, oh, why don't you buy the horse? You've come for it. He said, what's this that you're pulling out of the deal? Are you a true Nawab or are you a fake Nawab? They doubted his credentials. They said, you should be ashamed, you've wasted our time, you are Batamiz. And Nawab Sahib earned the swears, proper ridicule. And Nawab Sahib's, his face dropped and all the intoxication finished. And for example, he saw that Nawab Sahib's not here, and there's a fakir standing there. He said that you have come back without the horse. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam. You've come back without the horse. He said, yes. He said, fine. Go down, go there again, say inshallah, and you'll say inshallah, I'm going, inshallah, I'll buy a horse, inshallah, I'll come back with the horse. He said, leave one inshallah, you don't have to say all of them, because these are all linked. Inshallah, inshallah, inshallah. He started repeating inshallah, inshallah, inshallah. And this is our hal as well, and this should be our conclusion. So my brothers, The person who's grateful to Allah. Who is that person? This is the example we're discussing. So the individual who wants to become grateful to Allah, Allah has given us a beautiful method that helps us. And what is that? Dhikr Allah. Subhanallah. Say it again, Subhanallah. That's what Allah Ta'ala, for example, has kept us with Him. Allah says, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَشْكُرُونِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. Allah Ta'ala helps so much in the dhikr of Allah, helps so much to us to become the grateful servants of Allah. So now we understand, isn't it, what's being grateful to Allah with regards to being grateful to Allah, and only can we be grateful if we do dhikr. So understand the points I'm making quickly. Whose nur is this? The light of the dhikr of Allah. So from today we should make niyyah that we do dhikr, alhamdulillah. From today we've understood that this is the real point, that with no part of the body will we commit the sins, and the committing the sins is being ungrateful. And today we'll commit, we'll promise that we'll do the dhikr of Allah. Then inshallah, very quickly the cure will come to us. Very quickly the cure will come via the dhikr of Allah. The cure is what? To become the grateful servants of Allah. So alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala said that it's not hard for you, that the dhakir, definitely the individual who does dhikr of Allah, he becomes grateful to Allah, because this is the line. The dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah, creates shukr, being grateful to Allah. So for this now, we didn't know this was the point, what was the situation. From today, let's make the realization that Allah is telling us the solution via a system. Allah says, it's not just dhikr on its own that will give you success, but that dhikr that you do, and then it removes the sins from your life. How? Via being grateful to Allah. Via being grateful to Allah. There should be no fear that, Allah, I don't want my eyes to go. Allah, I don't want my tongue to go. Allah Ta'ala, I don't want to be dumb. Allah, I'm doing sins and I don't want my hands to be taken away from me. And these are events. Subhanallah. So when a sin is committed by a friend of Allah, then it cools and dampens that individual. Then he cries and says, Allah, I've made a mistake. Allah Ta'ala gives him that second chance again, or another opportunity. And there are many events that are against this. So after today, first let's look in our physical life. Our life, that are we committing any sins with the limbs or organs of our body? We won't after today commit the sins. And after that, we'll do dhikr of Allah. Wherever we are, we'll do dhikr. Lower your gaze, do dhikr with your heart, with your eyes, with your hands, with your feet, with every part of your body. And how should we do it? That when our heart becomes a dhakir, then the heart becomes the king of the body. Subhanallah. And there's a point Allah Ta'ala has kept in the heart, Sultanul Adhkar. And we should reach to that point and we should attain that maqam. When a person attains the maqam of Sultan al-Adhkar, then every portion of your body will do dhikr. Your eyes, your nose, and when your organs and the limbs of your body start to do dhikr, then haya will come to your life. Then he does not commit the sins, even if he has committed before, he will not commit further due to the fadl. What a great system that Allah has given to us. Great system. No, we just think, oh, it's dhikr, we're doing dhikr and we're not attaining anything. No. Dhikr gives a great net effect. And there's only foolish people who come to this majlis and they run away. What's the objective of our life? I don't learn anything. It's just dhikr. Do you understand what I'm saying? We should be grateful to the dhikr of Allah. Here again, was when the bayan is repeated again and you play it again at home, wherever you are, then repeat it a few times because it's beneficial for us. Subhanallah. And this majlis is very beneficial, isn't it? Yes. And it's very beneficial. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you the tawfiq that we can understand the objective of our lives, the purpose, because we've wasted a lot of time. Even until today, we've not understood the message of our lives, the objective of life, the wahala ma'amin. So after today, let's become alert. Let's understand the maqsad and the objective of our lives. If we want to pass our life properly, then how do we do it? In ita'at, in the obedience to Allah Subhanahu. There's no sin that I will allow to come into my life. I will reject the sins. Why? Why can I not leave the sins? Because I think, oh, it's too hard for me. Because the sin won't come to my tongue. Allah says, yeah, you'll be the grateful servant of mine. That, for example, if you're trying to earn funds or attain rizq in the wrong way, then that sin will be counted against you. Who was the Fir'aun before? Look at Fir'aun and his actions. Allah gave a great example in that time. That all your ease, just like his wife, who she was, can she become anyone else's? No, she's Hazrat Asiya. Subhanallah. And because she was set as a role model for the women folk after her. So this is not some small thing. In Jannah, as Asiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, she will be one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the maqam, the high stage maqam he has received. Those people who come in front of us, modern, so-called. Those people who come, so-called modern, and for example, someone's blind, somebody's disabled, etc., etc. Yes, we will feel pity for them, but they are high status people because they have suppressed their desires in the world one by one. In front of you, Allah Ta'ala has given us an example, and they've got high grade maqam status. Allah Ta'ala says that you eat this much, then eat more. We should eat more. We should benefit more. Subhanallah. And we will wake up blind on that day of judgment and the hereafter. And in that world, in the hereafter, they will have visibility. They'll have the vision. So we will lose out. So anyway, alhamdulillah, we should do true dua to Allah. That Allah let allow us to take these dramas out of our life so we can come into the real path. Allah allow the nur of dhikr to come into our life so that we can have understanding for these points. And so we can start to be grateful to Allah. Tell me, if I was not speaking today, if I was dumb, that yesterday, for example, we saw that person who was deaf and dumb. He was there, wasn't he? Present. He came to the gathering. Subhanallah. So, for example, was I not doing dhikr, but I was watching him and observing him. That subhanallah. This is this person. And there are other people, for example, they're wasting time. They're losing out. So when he came to the majlis, he presented a model that, oh foolish people, don't commit sins for the sake of those things that are not in your control. Has anyone got this recognition in their heart today now? That those people who were in the majlis yesterday, did you have anybody a recognition in your hearts? Nobody had that recognition in their hearts. They will have not even looked towards what they had sinned. Oh, they are born like this and we can commit excess, those servants of Allah. Allah Ta'ala created those people and Allah Ta'ala created us. Subhanallah. So Allah Ta'ala said that, Allah Ta'ala mentions that, for example, that those people who've committed the sins and don't understand they've committed the sins, but even if a person doesn't have that one atom's weight of a thought that he should correct himself, that person should shake and say, Allah, how should I be grateful to you? I promise that these parts of the body that you've given to us, we will not commit the sins with these things. So when Allah, I used to do dhikr, I used to tire, I used to remember you all the time. Allah says, no, I did not need this. Am I right or am I wrong? So this is the first example I've given to you. Some people who were not present, maybe they've gathered after a time. Those, for example, those who came to dhikr with us, maybe they were deaf, dumb and blind. They could not speak or hear or listen or understand or see. So Allah Ta'ala has given them a hint. And then there's us. Look at our shukr. Straight away when a person does tawbah, he has to repent from all his sins. And on top of that, we say, oh, it's too hard for us. What can I do? I'm forced to sin. I have to live the life in the world. My friends, we need to fear Allah. Ittaqullah. Fear Allah. Fear Allah. Fear Allah. So, what a great reward Allah Ta'ala has given to us. We're sat in the dhikr of Allah. Allah's remembrance, Allah has given us brain and health, ability, capacity. We're sat down. Such great kalimas we're about to recite that the whole gap between the heavens and the earth starts to shake with these kalimas. Rather, the earth and the heavens will shake from these kalimas that we'll recite. The whole world and what's contained in it will start to shake. The doors will open. Come, tell us, we don't know what else will occur. Those kalimas we're sat here, seated, ready to recite. Is this not the name of Allah? Is this not the gift of Allah? Can there not be a greater name of Allah? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying that all of the ni'mas of the world are being distributed at this moment in time. If you want to see who's attained the greatest ni'mah, it's the person who's doing the dhikr of Allah. He is the greatest ni'mah and blessing. Subhanallah. But we don't understand this to be an ni'mah. We don't consider dhikr to be an ni'mah. It's okay, I can go when I feel like. Oh, it's difficult. I'll come if I can. We will come like miskeen. But those are the individuals. They say, we've come and we are here. We will keep on coming. What a great ni'mah Allah Ta'ala has given. The Allah Ta'ala says that you have sacrificed thousands of your desires. Even then, this is not enough. What Allah Ta'ala has given to us far, far outweighs. Then can a person feel like doing sin even after this discussion we've had today? Can your heart feel that if we leave salah in the morning, for example, if we can do dhikr in the morning, we don't come? Tell me, it's cold. It's not cold. Oh, it's a day off, holiday, we don't come. Get up in the morning and we don't come. Tell me, there's dhikr is going to be okay, I'll go and sit down. And we should be grateful to Allah. Allah, your karam, your mercy, what great days you've given. Before we used to do 15 minute dhikr in the morning, but now we have a whole hour, we're doing maraqabah in the morning, subhanAllah. Because of the extended morning. Yes, we have extended time to sunrise. The great reward getting, I'll tell you about a child, listen to the words. A message came to me. By chance, I remember that message. He said, and his situation is such that his body, he is suffering from a disease, an illness, and he's weak in body. Do you understand what I'm saying? Weak. For example, the body is rotten. Rotten body, yeah? Something that is, and he's rotten, right? Being suffering from eczema from his face, his hands, you cannot shake his hand. Every part of his body, this is the shan of Allah, has made him a role model for ourselves. So what is it? That not one part of his body can do the full function of the body. At this moment in time, he is awaiting and he's seeking, trying to find the solution. Subhanallah. Such a great ashik this person is of dhikr. That he said in this situation where he's suffering from leprosy, skin diseases, and I saw that, how comes you've come? Masjid Zakariya. He said, I felt like Hazrat, I wanted to see you. I thought I'd come to see you. And presenting his words, and I was seeing him. And then, for example, he said, that has a, for example, when I take the train from Blackburn, I came off straight away here, I sat with you, I saw you, I met you. And then, for example, when a person goes, he said, no, I'll go back by train. Subhanallah, what appreciation. Can there be a greater example than this to us? And us people, 10 roasters and kebabs and we still fast. We say, oh, it's very difficult for us to come here, very hard. And for example, our favorite has it so much before, etc. And if I come to you, if I don't come to you, what would happen? Subhanallah. So, for example, they are giving us answers as if they have favored us. Favored us? No. Yeah, because we are, for example, the more you try to invite a person, the more that person runs away. Then they look at us and then they turn their eyesight away from us. But I grab that person from the eyesight of the heart. And they sat with ease. Such secrets will be unraveled in the hereafter. Allah says, fine, you committed these deeds. Some of them are captured, some of them are not. Social media, etc. images. But Allah says, such a big deception that you thought you would not be punished in the hereafter. What a great deception. The majlis of Allah, the gathering of the dhikr of Allah. Allah says, ittaqullah, fear me. Allah says, fear Allah, fear me. You go to the walis of Allah, the pious people, grab hold of your hearts when you're going into the majlis. Remember this. The majlis, the gathering of the wali of Allah, you should grab yourself and make sure that you no hustahi, no disrespect is communicated. That's it. That's what needs to be done. So, for example, he came to dhikr. And he came, the Blackburn Road, where did we do dhikr at that time? Makki Masjid, I think, is the next station. Yes. So I saw that, mashallah, he's arrived to the majlis. I was so happy to see him. And I knew that he was a wali of Allah, that this majlis will be benefited positively. And for example, others were looking at him, how he sat, he's ill. Straight away, I was alert by looking at him. I said, mashallah, young man's come. And now today, dhikr will go correctly. So for example, he's doing dhikr, he's repeating, reciting. And then I said, that my eyes also... for example, my eyes could have gone towards bad things, but the eyes, I want them to come towards good things. So I will say to you that today he sent a text to me, but I don't know if he's listening. Maybe. And I should pray such a person. So he texted me the whole subject. I cannot summarize to you in a few words, but he said, Hazrat, first and foremost, first time I'm sat in your majlis, I'm telling you his words. And so fortunate and lucky are those people who sit with you. He said, this individual, subhanAllah, who suffered from leprosy and he couldn't come. He said, I'm crying from that day that those people leave this majlis, that where Hazrat Zikr is being performed and they're not sitting there. Can there be a greater unfortunate person and grateful person than this? He said, Hazrat, that I've sat in your majlis and the taste of that majlis is until now. And especially when I'm going to Maraqaba, I tell you the truth, the honest truth, that... For example, I wasn't aware that I could do this. I didn't even feel I could do this. I just felt like I sit with you in Maraqba. Allah, I want to just remember you in my heart. So, has anyone got this taste and enjoyment until today? Tell me. Has anyone felt this enjoyment and taste? Nobody. And so amazed and surprised he is. He said, Hazrat, he said, Allah, please send me time and time again. Time and time again in Furqi Sahib's majlis. And subhanAllah, I knew that Maraqba was great. How fortunate and lucky are those people. I'll tell you the whole text. You'd be shocked. And surprised that you'd be definitely shocked that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the ability to do shukr with those people who are grateful to Allah. And today this thought has come into our heart. Today. So we make fuss, we don't practice properly, we make a fuss that we don't have to practice, and we put idols up in front of us, we erect walls in front of us, oh, it's too hard, no, I can't do this, this is too difficult, this, etc. We have to assess and weigh up front. For example, I've just got an example that's come to my mind. So now, you can imagine those people who are models, role models, they are true role models. And those who don't demonstrate good actions, for example, they don't implement the right actions. At least he could have taken a lesson. Allah's given me health, and Allah has given me in such a good way. And this person's coming dhikr, and I'm not present at dhikr time, and he's saved from the sins, and I commit sins from my body. This person's body is rotten from leprosy. And if I get a scratch on my body, and I get distressed and upset, that for example, we start scratching and scratching more. Here I got a bit of pain. And for example, the pain is continuing in this finger, index finger of the left hand. But for example, you see that person smiling, and he came smiling, and the praise he gave to dhikr, I've protected this, I've preserved this. What a great text. So beautiful that, what a great statement. He said, I swear by Allah. So when he said, such a majlis, so much light, and these people are great, ungrateful if they don't come to your gathering repeatedly. How can people leave your majlis? I don't understand, Hazrat, how people leave your gathering and the majlis. So should we be grateful for this or not, my friends? And this is called shukr. The person in whose heart these thoughts are maintained, then you ask that person, have you prayed tahajjud today? I haven't prayed tahajjud. Do you pray tahajjud? No, I didn't pray tahajjud. Do you fast? No, I'm not fasting. But I cannot dare. I don't have the time that I can get rid of the impurities here. And let's pray nafil. But he says, no, I can't. But the wali Allah says, no, I'm grateful even if I don't do all of these other intimate actions. I do shukr, I'm grateful. I teach the shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the people who are trying to witness that how to be the grateful servant of Allah. So may Allah ta'ala make us all the grateful people, the grateful people. And how can we become the grateful people? I repeat, summarize the learning of today. Subhanallah. If I want my eyes to be grateful, then remove the sins of the eyes. If I want my hands, my arms to be grateful servants to Allah, then I need to remove the problems. Allah Ta'ala says that everything in the total body I've given to you, in no way should you allow anything to increase, otherwise it will become ungrateful to Allah. And if we're ungrateful to Allah, then we'll go towards destruction. In other words, we don't want to become like Fir'aun. So do tawbah from today and a new start to life. Yes, a new start to life. And then the every second for a Sufi is a new start. And there was a Darvish who said, Hazrat Sahib, that whenever I go to your majlis, I return as a new man, subhanAllah, with a new message, subhanAllah. Until today, we haven't realized these words. Because look, every time a person gets a new thing, doesn't he? New thing. For example, if you can say the recording is rewound or reset, restored to default settings, and that's what we're doing now. So that the true picture comes in front of us. So from today, we should try our utmost that Allah Ta'ala's ni'mas that He's given to us, we should be grateful for the teeth, for the hands, for the mouth, for the eyes, for the ears, for everything in the stomach. Nothing should leave without being accounted for. Wa akhiru da'wahum anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.